moment, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with you as always. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here. And we just ask that you bring an open mind and an open heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality. While listening, you will be exposed to inspiring, empowering, and unifying perspectives that I'm highly confident will yield stellar results in your life if you opt to try them on for size. Also, if you're a longtime P-Head listener, you know I have been diligently working on producing episodes for my new late-night style, consciousness-elevating video talk show, Optimistic. Well, after a year plus in the making, I am thrilled to announce that we will be releasing Season 1's episodes weekly beginning March 15th, and I'm asking for your help to spread the love and to let your friends and family know about Optimistic when it's released. In exchange for taking a minute to share our Episode 1 teaser video on March 15th, or whenever you're hearing this, up through the end of April, we're giving you monthly memberships to not one, but two consciousness-expansive online content portals from two of my very favorite teachers and healers that are valued at over $50 a month, as well as entering your name into a drawing to win a free week at the Mystic Manor for a retreat immersion valued at $2,950, where the winner will be chosen in April. Otherwise, if you're interested in hearing more details about the rewards you'll receive for supporting, we'll send you a video that goes into detail when you text the word Mystic to the number 22999. You can also go to optimistic.tv to see several other videos, including the Optimistic show trailer and two videos that discuss the week-long retreat immersion, as well as details of what the Mystic Manor immersion entails and how you can book a week to come stay with us, even if you don't win the raffle. All right, all you positive heads, on this week's Soul Share episode, I'm extremely excited to have my very good friend Lee Harris back here with me on the show. Lee is an energy intuitive, a transformation guide, a channeler, a healer. He offers popular online monthly energy updates. He was originally on episode 667 of the podcast, so wow, we've almost doubled since then, Lee. And for those of you who have joined the Optimistic launch campaign by texting the word Mystic to the number 22999. Lee's online platform, The Portal, is one of the incredible free goodies you're going to get access to for supporting our launch on March 15th. Super gracious for Lee helping with that. Welcome to the show, my friend.
So happy to be here and be back with you. Hi.
Yes, indeed. You know, we just episode 667 a while ago together, but I've seen you more recently on one of the forthcoming episodes of Optimistic. So, yeah, you're sort of a staple in my world at this point, Lee. It's official.
Well, and you were so great. We hosted my first entrepreneur training, Impact the World, in 2018 for 5 days. And you were gracious enough to do a fantastic section with me on video all about podcasting.
And
I think I've told you this in person, but you know, we had about 65 people in the room, and one lady in particular said, "Oh my God, when I saw you were presenting on podcasts, I was like, I don't really care about podcasts, but I'll go and watch this session anyway." And she said it changed her whole world, and she is now a regular podcaster. She's doing really well.
Wow.
With her podcast. She's loving it. So
that's
kudos,
so,
my friend.
So cool. Like inspiring, or just giving people that little extra push to do something, you know, that in this realm of, you know, helping others, well, really helping ourselves by helping others in a sense, right? We teach best what we most need to learn, and we receive what we give. So anytime I've ever played any part, small part in someone, you know, stepping further down that journey, it's about the most rewarding thing that's ever happened to me. I'm sure you probably
so
would agree.
True. Yeah, so, so true. And it's funny because, you know, I've been doing this work in the metaphysical and the spiritual and the self-growth world for 15 years. But in this last 2 years, I've really focused even more on helping other people who specifically want to help others. Mm. And the kind of nuts and bolts of how it all works, because I find that fascinating. And so, yeah, that really lights me up to see other people finding the courage, the inspiration, or the tools they need to be able to get out there and do their thing, because we're all needed right now.
Yeah. And that sort of segues us into, you know, some of the topics that we touched on that we felt most excited to talk about today, you know, spiritual entrepreneurship and the fact that you just launched your own video podcast. Congratulations.
Yes, thank
Impact,
you.
Impact the world. And I know there's going to be listeners that are going to want to tune into that. And so before we kind of go down those rabbit holes, one thing maybe we would consider doing, typically when it's a first time I'm interviewing or soul share, you know, having a soul share session with someone, I ask a bit of their backstory. And I know since, you know, 600 episodes when you're on the last, we're almost to 1200 now, that there's a lot of new people listening. So maybe a little bit of backstory first, and then
sure.
We can go into some of, you know, your new show and, you know, and some of these other topics.
Totally. So I'm 43 now. And when I was around 16, 17, I had my own beginning awakening. So as a kid, my way of coping, well, I say this now with being able to look back, at the time I didn't understand this, but as a kid, my way of coping with life or trying to deal with the fact I couldn't cope with life as a very sensitive, very intuitive kid who didn't know he was I developed an eating disorder really early on. So I was taken to Weight Watchers at the age of 10 years old, and I lost 13 pounds at the age of 10. So that kind of gives you an idea of the problem. And then I was in and out of diet clinics all through my teens. I would lose weight, and then, of course, I would go back to binge eating, and I would gain the weight again, and usually more. So by the age of 16, I was shorter than I am now and on a smaller frame, and I was about 65 pounds, 70 pounds overweight.
Wow.
And at that point, I had a bit of a breakthrough. I really leaned even more deeply into my creativity. I went to a mixed gender college because I had been in an all boys secondary school from the age of 11 to 16, which was kind of a disaster for me because it was very, very, you know, very masculine, very, this is what a boy is, boys mm-hmm. don't feel, boys, you know, it was just completely the worst environment I could have been in some ways. And yet in other ways, I now see how it set me up for life.
Right.
Because when I came out of there, it was like a light bulb went on. And I also came out as gay, which I'd been realizing for many years. And that was a problem too. So it was like my life began to open up around 16, 17, 18. But there was a lot of healing to do. I lost 60 pounds by the time of I was 18. Then I developed bulimia, trying to keep the weight off. So
wow.
I give you all this backstory just because that was really what set me on a path of healing. I knew that I needed to heal. And I knew that even though I'd lost the weight, I was suddenly in a very different body. I went from being looked at one way by people to suddenly being looked at a very different way. And anybody who's ever lost a lot of weight or gained a lot of weight will tell you it's a very interesting thing when you get a very interesting insight into society when
right.
you go through such a physical shift. And you have to learn trust of yourself and of others because of the way that you're perceived. So I really dove into healing workshops. And while I was doing that, I was reading every book I could get my hands on. And I had a spontaneous experience of channeling and hearing my guides at the age of 22. Mm. I didn't believe it was able to happen to me. You know, I really thought that it happened to special people or very spiritually progressed people or people who were just on a vegan diet and had just done a, you know, I didn't eat for a month cleanse.
Right.
You know, I really had that idea. And to be fair, we're talking 20 to 21 years ago. It was a very different time.
Right.
So for anyone listening now who's like, you know, 30 and under, you've grown up in a time where there's this wealth of spiritual and self-growth material on the internet.
Yeah.
But the period I'm talking about, you know, we really we had spiritual New Age bookshops, and that was about it. We didn't even, you know, you couldn't even order it from Amazon.
Well, you and I are about the same age, and, you know, and I had my own sort of awakening in early 20s, 22, 21, somewhere in that range. Yeah. And it was like, people are like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you smoking? And so, yes, I fully remember.
Yeah. So, you know, long story short, I began channeling. I heard the voice of my guides. And when I was clear it was happening, which took, I mean, I think I knew immediately, but there was no way in hell I was going to tell anybody because I was like, oh, Jesus, this is going to be so inconvenient.
Mm-hmm.
I've just kind of come out as gay. I've just got through being the fat kid. No way in hell do I now want to be the channeler as well. You know, it's like, no, thank you. I've served my time with, you know, social stigma. Thank you very
much. Right.
But funnily enough, you know, as these things happen, I was trying to get into the music industry at the time. I was making music and it wasn't working. And one day, a friend of mine who was a healer and a shaman and a yoga teacher, and she and I had, you know, I'd done some sessions with her that she had given me, and I'd gone to her yoga classes. We had coffee and I just helped her. I would hear information for people all the time.
Mm.
It doesn't happen anymore because I now do it for a job.
Great.
But before I did it for a job, I would be stalked by intuitive information about people all the time.
Wow.
And so when I gave her this info, she went home to her shaman boyfriend and came back to me the next day and went, oh my God, she said, that information you gave us just changed our relationship for the better, 360. She said, you should be doing this as a job.
Wow.
And for anyone listening who's considering, you know, going into the healing arts, I had all the classic responses. Oh God, no, I couldn't do this. How would I do this for people I'm not sat with? I couldn't charge for it. All those, you know, all those things. And lucky for me, I was going through a period where I was saying yes to everything that scared me. So it was the year in my life that I realized quite how terrified I was of everything. I mean, if you ever want to realize how scared you are about things, just agree to say yes to things that scare you for a period of time. And it's a little bit shocking.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's a great thing because then you no longer fear some of those things because you've brought them to consciousness.
Right.
So I said yes, and it took off like a rocket. You know, I did it on a voluntary basis. So meaning people could give me a donation, but I wasn't setting a charge. And it just spread like wildfire. So that was 16 years ago now. And in that time, I've kind of now how my life looks today is I have a production team around me for the work that I do. We produce video, online courses, audio. We have a monthly members club. We affect several hundred thousand people a month with the video and the audio content. We do events all over the world. Yeah, I mean, there's probably a few other things I'm forgetting. I had a book come out last year, but it's interesting. One of the things I always tell the entrepreneurs I'm working with, or especially people who are hungry to get started, is I say, you know, you've really got to give it time.
Mm.
If you're a big visionary, which a lot of entrepreneurs, it's part of our makeup, you have to learn to be grounded, be patient, to build one brick at a time. And then, you know, over time, if you stay consistent with what you're doing and you continue to serve the quality of what you're doing for the people that you're serving, you will just see it naturally grow.
Right. Yeah, that's great advice. It's like, you know, how much energy are you putting into it? And, you know, patience is, I think, a virtue that all of us get served up to learn whether we want to or not. And as an entrepreneur, you know, we get these big ideas and so excited. And then it's like, and now grounding that into reality is going to be a process.
Yes. Chop wood, carry water. Mm. And it was funny the other day, just the other day on my news feed on social media, a Gary Vee video, a clip came up. So Gary Vee, if anyone doesn't know who he is, he's this very dynamic entrepreneur, trainer, and teacher. And I've seen clips of him, and he's always very entertaining. I've never really overly engaged in his work, but you know, I think he's doing a great thing out
there. Yeah, same.
But there was this clip, and it basically, he's on stage talking to this massive audience, and he said, if another person in their early 20s comes up to me and tells me they want to be a multimillionaire by the age of, age of 30, I'm going to punch them in the face. And that's very much his style. You know, it's not for everybody. And then he went on to explain, you know, he said, you know, maybe if you do something that's useful to for people and you stick with it, maybe you will be in a decade. But he said too many people are chasing this entrepreneurial fantasy that gets peddled on the internet. And there are some people out there who peddle that fantasy
for
too.
Sure.
You know, they're filming themselves in Bali going, you too can have it all. And what they don't do is fill in the blanks of, you know, the challenge moments, the fearful moments, the moments where you have to grow. And actually, you have to become someone different in order to experience a different life. And I think that's a big missing piece in a lot of that advertising or marketing. It takes growth. And so for me, what's funny is I look at it that self-growth was my personal growth for, I would say, my late teens through my 20s. And then from about my mid-30s onwards, unexpectedly for me, running this company and putting this work out into the world, it's kind of been my unexpected biggest self-growth path in the last 8 years. Because if you're really engaging with the work that you do, it will change you. If you want to change the world, impact the world, if you want to put something out there that's going to be of effect for others, you'd better sign the dotted line where it says, are you willing to change and grow in order to become this dream?
Right.
Because you can't just, you know, have new outer circumstances without the inner growth. And I truly believe at a soul level, that's really what any of us are in it for anyway. You know, if you say you want to become a multimillionaire, okay, fine. If tomorrow you were a multimillionaire for about 3 to 5 days, that might be interesting. But actually, there's way more to it than the numbers in the bank account or what it allows you to do. There will be a ton of growth in that experience that your soul is actually seeking, curious about, and wants to.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I truly believe, you know, whether it's through your career or relationship or all of these things, what you just touched on is so important. It's like the underlying soul level higher self desire isn't the carrot at the end of the stick. It's the growth along the way. You know, it's like, I'm not in a relationship actually to just be happy, live happily ever after. You come together because there's an opportunity for growth there. And that sometimes it's going to be challenging. And, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, you're not, you know, you may think, oh, I can't wait to have $1 million in my bank account, but your soul's saying, I can hardly wait to have all the growth that I'm going to experience along the way through the trials and tribulations of getting there, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because, you know, my husband, Stephen, and I, we just celebrated 2 years of being.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Yeah,
he's great, by the way.
If you...
And I got to meet him.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's really, really wonderful soul. And really lucky that we met. And at the time that we met, we were, you know, old enough to kind of know who we were, which was helpful. But I will say that my experience of being married and my experience of the position that my work has got to in the world right now is far better than anything I could have dreamed, but in a very interior way. So, you know, what I didn't really understand perhaps 10 years ago was how it was all going to feel. And I think my soul knew that I wanted to be married, or, you know, whether we were married or not, or, you know, with a companion to kind of walk alongside and grow with. But the same with the work. I had this feeling that it would be so amazing if the work had grown enough that there were resources and interest for the work that would allow me to up-level the production value, work with really interesting people, continue to do better things in the world, and as much as we can, put free content out for people who either aren't in a position to afford it, will never be in a position to afford it. So all of those things have happened, but it's, I have to say, the richness that it gives me on an interior level, even with, you know, challenging days or challenging moments, is really kind of amazing. It's kind of like, oh, wow. I always knew that I wanted these circumstances, but I didn't fully understand exactly what they would give me how it would feel, but my soul knew to drive towards it because my soul was looking for this level of interior wholeness at a level I've never previously experienced. So that,
that's very, very cool. And, you know, one of the things that kind of comes up for me when I think about this topic and, you know, entrepreneurship and particularly, you know, spiritual entrepreneurship or conscious entrepreneurship, is I've talked to several people who've gone down this path and, or were thinking of going down this path. And something that I hear time and time again is this concern of, well, really two concerns. One is like saturation. You know, it's like, oh, is there too many coaches or teachers or channelers or healers or whatever? And even a bigger one that I hear is this concern of imposter syndrome. Like, well, I'm not good enough to, you know, do such a thing. Yep. So I'd love to sort of explore both of those topics with you as they pertain to spiritual entrepreneurship, because, yeah, I know they're two very, you know, big hot buttons, if you will, for people.
Absolutely. So let's start with imposter syndrome, because this, by the way, is something that we have to embrace. We have to embrace that as we walk towards any level of success, whether it's you do a one-on-one healing session with somebody and at the end of it, they turn around to you and go, thank you so much. That really helped. And a part of you's like, oh my God, really? You know, you're just like thrilled that it went okay, because you were terrified it wasn't. And that was very much how I felt for about my first 200 sessions. You know, it took, I mean, my imposter syndrome, trust me, I was really, I was a hard nut to crack. I literally had probably done about 4 years in this field or 5 years in this field. And I remember one day thinking to myself, oh, maybe I am actually good at this. And it wasn't that I was feeling big-headed in that moment. And it wasn't that I was like overly berating myself on a daily basis, but it took that many people thanking me, leaving YouTube comments for me to finally go, oh, to just kind of align with I'm allowed to be here. And so I think imposter syndrome is something that should never, ever hold you back. You should absolutely know it's going to be part of your journey. And what you need to do is figure out how you're going to deal with it when it shows up. So this is where the growth comes in. It's like the self-judgment that we all have, the self-criticism. It's like your friend will say to you, oh, you look really beautiful today. I love your hair. And you go, oh, actually, no, my hair's really off today. I couldn't get it to do what I wanted. You basically negate everything that the friend is saying to you. Now, the friend was not lying, because the friend is not going to lie to you. But it's interesting how we will stop ourselves receiving connection from the world because of what we've decided about how valid we are or aren't. And that is the biggest level of dysmorphia that you have to overcome if you're going to put work out into the world. You must know that by putting your work out into the world, you may never appreciate your work or yourself the way someone else does. Right. And that's okay. It's kind of none of your business. And I remember once, I remember Adele, the recording artist, you know, amazing singer. Just to kind of give some context for people who don't really follow the music industry, because, you know, the music has been in my life for 20 years and, you know, putting music out has been part of my life. Her record sales in 2015, when her album 25 came out with that hit song, Hello, they were unbelievable. Like, nobody was actually selling records the way she was. I mean, it was literally, it didn't actually make sense how many records she was selling. And the reason I say that is in that very same year, she was doing an interview and somebody asked her on camera, how does it feel to be the world's most successful recording artist of the last few years and to be selling out all these venues? And she said, I still think someone's going to tell me it's all a joke and they're going to send me back to Tottenham. So, and I think whether you like Adele's music or not, I think that's a really interesting example of somebody at the most pinnacle top of their, so I don't think we should ever focus on thinking that we should overcome imposter syndrome, or more importantly, I think we will overcome imposter syndrome if we figure out how to deal with it rather than letting that inner critic voice stop you showing up to the party, because everybody else at the party may have got really good at getting over their inner critic or is dealing with it in that moment and
right,
just not talking
right.
about it. So I think the imposter syndrome, it's a thing, but it's not something that should stop you. It's actually, I will say, having come through a lot of it myself, and it doesn't mean I don't go through new fears when we put something bigger or something new out, because I do, but I now know how to manage that fear because I've worked with it for so long and I've looked at it from different angles. I now know that the fear can be in the room with me so long as it is not dominating the room. If it's dominating the room, I can't do what I do. If it's a thought or a small kind of, there's kind of a whiff of it in the room, I can deal with it and I can push through. The other piece that you said, aren't there too many channelers, healers? I totally understand that. There were many times, and I was thinking of giving up this work in about 2016, 2015. I just got to this point, and it was right before I started working with entrepreneurs. I basically needed to have a breakthrough, and that was my breakthrough. But for about a year, I didn't know if I was going to leave. And one of the things I would say to a few of the people that I shared that with was, why am I needed in this field? You know, there's so many great people and there's more people coming in. And one of the things I just yesterday put a video on YouTube for, you can find it at my channel. It's called You Are Needed and You Are Enough. It's an 11-minute video. Basically, think of all the people who you are grateful for in your life, whether that's your mother, your grandmother, that healer that you saw last week that helped you, the singer-songwriter that you love the most who has moved you when you've listened to their songs, the book that changed your life. If those people had thought to themselves, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't show up in this moment and offer this to this person, you would not have been affected by them.
Right.
So again, it goes back to you are needed because we're all needed. And we're at a time where consciousness is becoming much more normalized on the planet. So there's a whole new level of emotional intelligence and emotional awareness and investigation going on now than there was even 20 years ago. So because we're all different and because we all need it in different ways, everybody's needed. I have not learned from one spiritual teacher in my life or one author or one singer-songwriter. I've had many. And so you don't have to be somebody's final solution, but you do need to put yourself out there if you feel compelled to do it, because there will be someone out there who will respond magnetically to your compulsion.
Right.
If you have a compulsion to put something out there and you feel that you're putting it out there for someone else to see or hear, then there is going to be a magnetic pull from somebody towards the way that you're saying it. And one of the things I say in that video is, we're all a remix anyway. Like, you know, none of us are completely unique. We're completely unique in that no one else is vibrating or being quite the way we are. But for example, Brandon, you and I have known each other for 2.5 years and we don't see each other very often, but the times that I've been in your presence or we've collaborated on work, I've always greatly enjoyed it and it's very powerful and I love your magnetic energy. So on some level, you have influenced me over the last 2.5 years. It doesn't mean necessarily I sound like you or speak like you, but just our connection, just our electricity in the moments that we've connected on work, you have then gone into my consciousness and vice versa.
Yep.
And, you know, some part of us is now affected by our meeting and our collaborating. So it's also good to remember that, you know, if you're blaming yourself for not being good enough or not quite doing it, you know, don't blame yourself. You're blaming everybody. You know, you're blaming all your teachers, all your parents, and that can help neutralize some of this very personalizing self-attack that we can do that can stop us putting our work out into the world.
Yeah, I love everything that you just said. And it's, you know, using music as an example is so good. It's like, yeah, thinking about the music that's touched you the most and maybe how different it is from the music that's touched your partner or sibling or parent the most. It can be radically different. And think if that person had said, yeah, you know what? There's been about a billion singer-songwriters before me, probably oversaturated. No, actually, it's, you know, we all have, as you said, our own energetic signature that we carry. And I also love how, you know, the idea of it being a remix. Like I say it all the time on the show, I'm repeating myself a lot. A lot of what I share, I've picked up other places, but then it goes through, you know, my filtration process, me sprinkling in whatever uniqueness my energetic, you know, signature has on it. And then it's coming back out to the world. And that can just so happen to be the perfect, the key in the lock for someone who's a vibrational match for, you know, what I'm offering. And it's, you know, I think of it as we're all sort of, you know, it's all one. We all sort of acknowledge that. And it's also this oneness is vast. It's, if you think of it as a vast, infinite tree, there is branches on that vast, infinite tree that happen to be right next to each other. And on a particular branch, there happen to be leaves that are right next to each other. And if someone is on the leaf right next to yours on this infinite tree, you know, there's maybe a closer resonance than a branch and a leaf on the way other side of the tree. And so when you are offering whatever it is that you're offering to the world, your version of it, your take on it, there, you know, there's people out there who have had experiences that would share some of the same information I may share, but they've also been through, you know, losing a spouse or a child or, you know, some traumatic or a drug addiction or, you know, obesity. And all of a sudden it's going to be better received from the combination of, you know, the person delivering it, because it's more in resonance and relatable. And so that's the thing, is there will never be enough people talking about this stuff and stepping into that which, you know, most excites them and scares them, I say, is for them. And so stepping into this fear of being an imposter, if that ever comes up, and being with it and moving through it and knowing that, well, there's never going to be too much saturation, because, you know, we are infinite in all directions, and there will continue to be new humans and new humans who even are at a different point. You know, someone may not resonate at all with me today as of this recording, and in a year from now, it's the perfect key in the lock for them based off of the journeys they've taken up to that time as well, right?
Absolutely. So well said. And it's funny, because I think the other question that kind of comes up with that is, so if you are asking yourself, well, why should I do this? Because there's all these other people out there. You should do it because you want to do it, mm-hmm. not because you're worried about the outer effect. Because yep. one of the things that I will say is, I'm not like a great fan of my own work at all, but I'm a great fan of hearing someone say to me, thank you so much. Your energy forecasts, your energy updates have got me through depression.
Yeah.
Now I don't understand why, mm-hmm. because you know, I'm not reverse engineering. I'm not sitting there going, now let me make sure that this video is going to help this lady in Australia through depression. I don't really understand the fullness of her experience, because I'm not her, but it really lights me up to hear that there is a positive byproduct from me following my compulsion for her. That definitely supports, galvanizes, and inspires me to keep going. But what I will say is, I think this is a classic that we all fall into. You know, I was a huge fan of Tori Amos.
Mm, me too.
In my 20s, I was just like, she was the bomb. And I've probably seen her in concert maybe 10 or 11
times. Oh, wow.
Times
now. Okay, you're a bigger fan.
Yeah.
But you know, I love her.
I'm really loyal. It's funny, because, you know, I definitely, there was a period of where her albums were just so connected to me. I don't always have that response to the albums anymore, but I'll still go and see her live, because she's amazing.
She is phenomenal.
But why I bring this up is, in my early 20s, especially when I wanted to bust into the music industry, I would sit there and watch her on stage, and I assumed she had the most perfect life. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, she gets to be on stage and use her voice and sing. Wow, wouldn't it be amazing to be Tori Amos? And then years later, I read her biography, mm-hmm. and read all the backstage shit and crap that she was going through with record companies that we, the fans, never knew, that were causing so much problem for her and so many challenges. And she would always say, my favorite moments, apart from when I'm like with my husband or my daughter, are when I'm on stage. Yeah. So we were all having a peak experience together.
Yep.
And my assumption that Tori's life was just this, that because I was focused on her on the stage, that was what her life felt like all the time, was just, you know, just naive of me. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason I bring that up is I think it's easy to focus on someone else's output or product or work and make an assumption about their experience of that work or their journey. Like if you were to say to Oprah, wow, what did it feel like to have affected that many billions of people, you know, when she's about to die? She might go, well, it's great, but it's a bit abstract. But what I can tell you has been fascinating to me is the journey I've taken. When I think back to being in poverty and then becoming a journalist and then getting a TV show and then having a network, how that journey has affected me is just extraordinary.
Yeah.
So she'll never really understand the magnitude of what she's doing for others. Because there comes a point when scale is just, it's just scale.
Yep.
You know, it's too many people to keep up with. But if she's connected to her inner journey, so that's the question I would put to anybody who's going, well, why should I do it? Because this person's out there. You're not just doing it because of how you want to affect the outer world. You're doing it because you're having a feeling that taking this inward journey and making yourself become a healer in the outside world is going to fascinate you, is going to light you up, is going to challenge you in ways that will grow you. That's the bit to lean into.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, this is a reminiscent of something I remember talking about, you know, for your event and with the woman that you referenced. And I was talking about podcasting. And that's one of the things that I think, really, if I recall, really stuck with her was this idea of you're doing it because you love it. And it, much like you, it of course, it doesn't surprise me as much as, you know, I enjoy you and we resonate in everything, that our journeys have been similar in some regards. My early 20s were all about making it in music and in the music business. And I remember, that's a great example for me, because I remember early on, I was in this creative state of, oh my gosh, I was having my own sort of spiritual awakening. I can do anything, you mean, with my life? Well, what would I do? Well, I'd make music. That sounds, you know, like the most fun, fulfilling thing. And so I started on that journey and I formed a band. And I remember to this day, those late night practices in the first couple years are some of my fondest memories, because there's so much creativity and like innocence and beauty. And we were still not nearly as tight as we got years later. And then I fast forward 5, 6, 7 years or whatever. And our bass player's brother is the drummer in No Doubt, who had just had the biggest song on planet Earth a few years before. And we're playing with all these big bands who were on a roster with, you know, lineup. I still have flyers from, it's like Us and Linkin Park and Hoobastank and Alien Ant Farm, all these bands at the time that went on to be really big, and we didn't. And so I remember that journey from that innocence of doing it for the sake of doing it, for the inner experience, not really thinking two steps in front of, you know, that evening's practice, to years later, well, we've got to add up and, you know, to, you know, what everyone around us is able to achieve. And, you know, now I need to make it somewhere and get more recognition externally in order for this to be a fulfilling journey. And that's not happening as quickly as I'd like. And now I'm dissatisfied, and now it's a job, and now it's not fun, and all the joy's gone. And, you know, next thing you know, we finally disbanded because, you know, one of the key members just couldn't hang in there, you know, needed more external validation. And so that is sort of the biggest thing that, and then with Positive Head, fast forward many years and launching that, it was one of the first things in my life where it's like, I don't care what the outcome is. I'm doing this because I love doing it. And I stuck with that. And it wasn't about how do I, you know, monetize and any of those things. I mean, I didn't even have a sponsor for years and years. And then only out of once it kind of started getting to necessity as I expanded things. But it, you know, I look back on that journey with those two creative projects, and that's a big takeaway from me. Do it because you love it. Even if it's you that is the only one that enjoys it, that's a win. You already won just just taking the step is what I would say, and let the outcome will be what the outcome should be, and you don't need to be so attached to that.
So true. So true. And it's interesting hearing you share that about the podcast now, because we started production on my podcast last April, and we just launched it in January 2020.
Big congrats. That just happened.
Yeah, thank you. But it was funny because, you know, I definitely, there were conversations with my team, and I'm most known at this point for my energy updates, which are my monthly energy read. You know, they're seen by across all the different platforms, a few hundred thousand people every month now, which is really mind blowing to me when I think, you know, how they began in 2012. But it was interesting that I knew that I wanted to do, you know, I have this great social media guy, Nick, and we've worked together for about 2.5 years. And understandably, when we first got together, and people before Nick that I'd worked with, everybody wanted me to do videos on spirituality, like standalone videos. And it, you know, it made total sense. You know, you're known for something, so now start putting out videos on that topic. And if you want to just play the success game, it will work. But it never quite felt right for me. And I was always working in all these other areas and serving my portal community. But this podcast, I thought, I want to interview other people and have conversations with them about their journey as creatives. And even though it's a smaller percentage in my audience who are here for, entrepreneurship or being healers or creatives in the world, that's what I want to serve. And yeah, it's so true. It's like you have to be very careful. I think especially once you get a little bit known for something or there's some success, you have to be very careful not to then try and feed success. Because I've seen so many people go down the wrong path with that.
Yeah.
And even just recently, I watched the Quincy Jones documentary. And it was an amazing documentary. And I think one of the things, I think it was that documentary where they talked about Michael Jackson's success with, it was either Thriller or Bad. It was one of those albums that was just ridiculous record sales. And they said the heartbreak and the tragedy for him was that once those records were done, he was then expecting the next ones to do the same.
Right.
And I think the person in the, I think it was Quincy, was going, but people just didn't do that. Like, you know, he should have known it was a phenomenon and just been grateful for the phenomenon. But instead it set this impossible standard that that he was then chasing, and it upset him. And I do think you've got to be, I think if you have some success, that's a wonderful thing. And it's something to be grateful for rather than feel beholden to, start chasing, or expect.
Yeah, that's such profound wisdom right there. And how freeing it is to think about approaching your own creative journey with all of these things as like pillars, as foundational elements. So you can really navigate it in a way where having those tools is everything, you know, approaching it with this sort of childlike innocence, and whatever success I get, I'm grateful for, and I don't need any of it to be happy. And I have no expectation what tomorrow brings. And that's challenging. I mean, I can tell you, Lee, for me, you know, I was so proud of Positive Head and how much positive feedback I received for years. And then, you know, in the last year, focusing some of my energy on Optimistic, and you've been here and seen what a production it is and how much it takes to kind of put it all together. And it's been the ultimate stretch of my life. And in that process, inevitably, you know, Positive Head at times has maybe gotten a little less attention, or I'm talking about that a lot because, you know, I'm getting people in here for retreats and then getting support from a co-host to help carry the weight of some of the shows, so that, you know, and then I started getting, for the first time ever in the last year, some negative reviews because of that. And it was so like heartbreaking to me, because I'm like, you know, attached to, I'm so accustomed to, oh, well, I have like 1,000+ reviews and like all of them are five stars, of course, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this show used to be great. And then he started The Mystic Manor and Optimistic and two stars. And I'm like, what? Like, you gave me a 40. If it was a school grade, that would be a 40. It's like, that's a big fail. And so, you know, and I have to remind myself, okay, you know, what can I learn from this? And where's the lesson? And don't be so caught up. You're doing your best. And from their view, I can see how maybe it felt different. You know, the only thing in life guaranteed is change, right? And there was a lot of change happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is another, I mean, because the truth is, and this is true with any negative comment, we never fully know what's going on for that person.
Yep.
So they could be just, you know, fully accurate.
Yep.
And it's interesting for us to consider, oh, wow, is this accurate? Is this feedback I should take on? Or a myriad of things could be going on for them. But the one thing that hits me when you say this is, you know, some people don't like you doing things that are different to what they,
yep.
you know, what they expect. And, I even had it, you know, I had to smile. There was a comment. I interviewed Piper Perabo, who's an actress and an activist, and she has been doing some beautiful work in politics. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a political person, mm-hmm. really, at all. Mm-hmm. But the reason I had her on the show was what she's standing for in politics is very good. Mm-hmm. So she's in a dense area trying to bring some light and trying to empower women in that area. And it was funny because I saw some negative comments for that interview and they didn't like her. And what struck me, I think one person I even saw had written something like, well, I really loved the last few, but I don't like this one. You know, and for me, I'm like, God, I would never, and again, I say this with no judgment to that person, I can't imagine feeling like I should write a comment that would tell someone, I liked the last three free videos you made for me,
yep.
and I don't like this one. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, I could show you how much each episode is costing.
Exactly. They have no clue into any of that.
No, and on the one hand, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, it's like Brené Brown says, She'll listen to feedback from people who are in the arena.
Mm.
And those of us, it's like when you see people commenting on tickets for live events and they go, oh, that's very expensive. They're making all this money. They have no idea that most live events, if you're lucky, are 50% profitable at most because of the overheads, the risk, all of this stuff. So I think it's an interesting thing with criticism, because I think on the one hand, you have to learn to not look at it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be useful to kind of take some stuff in. But in your case and in this comments case, I'm not at all surprised you got a comment like that, because an energy I feel in that comment that you just described to us is definitely, why is Dad doing something else? We like Dad in the house and in the garden. Right. And now we hear that Dad isn't in the house and in the garden as much. And Dad's going off doing this other project that we don't see him. We don't like this project. Yeah. We don't get invited. So yeah,
know your place,
there's a little bit of that, you know, put your cardigan back on and sit in the armchair. And the truth is, you know, and I say this with love, nobody has any right to tell anybody else what to do.
Yeah.
And just because I think you put stuff out into the world, and you know, we're in a very privileged position that we've gone through those early stages of our careers where we're, you know, trying to pay off the debts, trying to, you know, pay the bills. And, you know, I'm now really grateful that I can take the money that comes in for my work and plow it into the next project, the next creativity. But I'm also, I'll be honest, I haven't got much time for someone who wants to attack us for work that they're receiving for free, that I'm paying for, that my team are working hard on. I don't mind them leaving the comment, but they won't get any of my attention or any of my energy, because I don't really agree with that way of being.
I feel that fully. And, you know, part of being super sensitive and you know, I had someone say to me, well, Brandon, get used to it. You know, the more you expand and do different things and reach new people, it's sort of inevitable. And I think at first I had so little of it for so long, and I was so hyper-focused on, you know, Dad was definitely in the garden, you know, all the time. And it's funny you said a cardigan, because I instantly got a flashback to one of my former employees who on my birthday, in honor of me, like dressed up like me to sort of like, you know, poke, you know, lovingly poke fun at me. And he, of course, he had the cardigan on because to my office, that was, I was like known for always wearing cardigans. So I guess the, my inner little man has always been there in that cardigan. And I totally feel you.
And it's funny as you're talking about the dad thing, I'm reminded that I had the great privilege of meeting your son when I came to do the Optimistic taping. What an amazing man your son is. Like, really, I mean, really extraordinary. Real credit to you and his mom, because it's like, wow, he's quite a being. So,
thank you so much.
You did well, Dad.
Thank you. You know what? I'd love to take more credit, but he honestly showed up. I always jokingly say, I don't know how he turned out so sane between me and his mother. His mother is quite the character. And, you know, he just came out as this little, I always also jokingly say, speaking of dad and son, I always say he's been the dad way more times than I have. He's just right. Always got, he has a sort of, you know, wise old man energy. And I'm like the poster adult for childhood. And so.
That's so true. That's so true, actually. It's a bit, you're a bit like Absolutely Fabulous, you know, Adina and Saffron. But both of you are way cooler. You're not as nuts as Adina, as much as I love her as a character, and he's not as stiff as Saffron.
I don't think I've seen that, so I'll have to check it out.
Well, I'm a Brit, so, you know, I lived in England till I was about 35. So yeah, I kind of, it's ingrained. But I will just say one quick thing about the whole negative comments. One piece of advice I give everybody who is nervous about negative comments, or who is stopping themselves doing their work because they're nervous about negative comments: go to Amazon. I mean, you could go to somewhere else too, but Amazon is such a resource of so many places. It's the easiest place to go. Mm-hmm. Find your favorite author, your favorite spiritual teacher, or your favorite music band.
Yep.
Go to the reviews, click on the reviews, and read their 1- and 2-star reviews.
Yeah, right.
And when you have read some of the people that you love being ripped to shreds,
yep,
it really helps you go, oh, well, hang on, I really love those people. But, you know, and for me, I always say, if you're a spiritual teacher, go and look at Eckhart Tolle's bad press. Because to me, Eckhart is one of the most inoffensive spiritual teachers out there. You know, I'm like, if you're offended by Eckhart, then there's some real issues going on.
You're working hard.
I know. So he's a great example, because he kind of helped me about 10 years ago when I saw some of the kind of nonsensical attack.
Yeah.
That he would draw, it helps you remember it's not as personal as you think.
Yeah, right.
There is just a level of attack energy, criticism energy in the world. And if you stick your head above the parapet for long enough, some of it's going to come at you.
Inevitably. Yeah, it's so true. And thinking of someone attack, I mean, I could see Eckhart Tolle, maybe them like, would he hurry up and spit it out? You know, like, yeah, maybe he's too slow for some people, but yeah, he's about the most peaceful human being that could exist. And
And also the most egoless. I mean, there are, you know, there are some spiritual teachers out there who are quite popular, and it's clear that their ego goes with them, and that's okay, because you know, there's somebody for everybody.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yep.
But that's why I choose him, because, you know, it's easy to find negative comments for some spiritual teachers, and you can understand why they're triggering certain people. And I think that's part of their role. That's partly why they're there. And it's partly why their ego is there too, because they're there to trigger something for all of us. And, you know, we're all a reflection of what we need to see.
That's
basically.
Right.
But yeah, I think Eckhart's just a good neutral example.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So with Impact the World, are you releasing the podcast weekly, or what's the flow of that?
Yes. So I will just share this for anyone who's a creative. You know, one of the things I always say is, as a visionary, you know, be willing for your visions to take time to kind of land. Mm-hmm. Like, I often think might take a year or two, especially if it's a big thing. Might take a year or two to birth this. So I was originally going to have conversations weekly with people, and that excited me because I like people. I thought, great, there's so many great people. And then I think we taped about 15, 20 conversations, and it was last fall. And suddenly I thought to myself, actually, I should pepper this with, well, so the conversation episodes we call conversation episodes. And then there are standalone episodes with just me that are much shorter. They're like 10 minutes long each. And those we call insight episodes.
Cool.
So there is an episode every week and we alternate. So every month you'll get two conversations and two insight episodes.
Cool.
And it's all filmed. So you can, if you prefer to listen, you can listen on various platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like to watch, you can see the videos. They're all on YouTube and it's all accessible through my website. So, yeah, it's been a really interesting project. And the reason I share the behind the scenes is if I'd rushed it out, if I hadn't given it the kind of 6 months of gestation behind the scenes that it needed,
yep,
I would never have really landed the format. So I'm also an advocate of start before you're ready.
Yeah.
We weren't fully ready. We didn't really have, we didn't really know how and when we could fit it in our production slate. So that's also why it took 8 months. But I knew that we were ready to start having conversations. And I knew how to, before I, you know, started working with a camera crew, I knew how to kind of set that up myself. So we got that in the can before we really understood how what the design of the podcast was going to look like. So I'm a big fan of, you know, just start and you'll figure out what you need to know. But it's a different thing if you tell the public, oh, this is coming in 4 weeks and you really haven't strategized how to get it out in 4 weeks.
Right, right.
So especially, you know, now because we have a following that we're serving who we're in communication with regularly, I'm a bit more measured than I used to be, you know. Right.
Yeah, I always say perfect is the enemy of good enough. And I know a good friend comes to mind, you know, who's actually done some co-hosting on this show a while back and regularly. And I'm always like talking to him and it's always, oh, I need to start my podcast or this or that or start doing, you know, videos similar to what you're doing. And, you know, it's like, but oh, my backdrop isn't good enough or this or that, or it's like a reason. And I'm just like, just start. It's, you know, it's like the big launch a lot of times for people is, you know, overrated. I think, once you get doing it, then, you know, and it doesn't mean go the opposite direction. And like you said, and be completely unprepared. And, but there's, you know, finding that balance. And, you know, I sometimes lean more towards the, you know, shoot, ready, aim kind of thing. Yeah, finding that balance, I think, is super, super important. And once you start, it sets energetic wheels in motion and you learn and you grow and you adapt and you improve. And that's an important part of the process. It's just not going to be perfect out of the gate. So if you're waiting for that, you'll be waiting a long time.
And you'll miss the process. If you're hosting a party and you put together, you know, a nice bunch of snacks in the corner and you make the atmosphere nice, but the minute all the guests arrive, you trust that you've done what you can, even though you're like, oh God, we thought we'd have 4 more hours, or oh no, I was going to rearrange those flowers.
Right.
But you didn't. But it's an amazing party and you just enjoy it and engage with it. Great. But there are the other kinds of hosts where you go to their party and you're very aware of their constant nervous energy because they're running around tweaking the room.
Right.
Forgetting that the room is just the backdrop.
Yep.
The room is the backdrop and the space at which the magic happens, which is connection. So I think, you know, it's interesting if this, you know, this example we're talking about, oh, I'm not ready, my backdrop's not ready, then you're probably not ready to enter full-blown entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is, I could right now tell you, I could give you a list of 10 things that me and my team could be doing better.
Yeah, me
but
too.
There isn't time.
I could give you 20.
We haven't yet had the resources, and that's okay. You learn.
Yep.
Oh yeah, right now we're in the process of updating my website, which hasn't been updated, I'm embarrassed to say, for a few years in many ways.
Yep.
And I've always known it's not as good as the production quality of our products.
Yep.
But you know, we've improved the production quality in the last 2-3 years. So now the website's lagging behind, and that's just the nature of life.
Yep.
You know, there's always going to be something.
Yep. Right now people are diligently working on updating something on, you know, hundreds, thousands of programmers are working to update Facebook to make it better or improve something or change something. So it's like, this is a job that, you know, never gets done. And so when you can take that perspective as you step into the arena. You know, I think that's a very important one. And there's so many people who get the wrong idea about that, and it cripples them.
Yeah, your production quality does not need to be top notch. Your presentation, your content, and the level of engagement with your audience, if that's top notch, yeah, or at least good,
yep,
then as there is a following around what you do, you can upgrade all those other things. But if you go the other way and have exceptional quality, but no engagement, no content, no real, you know, no possession of what it is you're doing, that can be just as bad to watch or
right,
to engage with.
Right. Absolutely. Wow. So as we sort of wind down here, a couple of things that kind of come up for me. One is, I'd love to share, if you would, for those. Well, one, you threw out your website. We've talked about your website, but you didn't say what it is.
Yes, it's because it's a mystery. Ooh, you've got to work it out.
We've got to read. This is part of the telekinesis or telepathic transmission that Lee does.
This is today's internet challenge. My website is leeharrisenergy.com. Mm-hmm. Lee, HARRISENERGY.com.
Perfect. And so I have just started in the last week talking about, the Optimistic launch officially happening on March 15th. I am so grateful to you as being one of the initial SoulShare interviews on the show, and even extra gracious of you. And I'm so appreciative that you've offered the access to the portal for a month for people who help to get the word out. And I mentioned at the top, guys, if you text the word Mystic to the number 22999, you'll be entered into sort of our list. And on March 15th, we'll share a one minute teaser video of episode one that you can then post on social media, and then you get, you know, and also follow our social pages. Takes you all of 60 seconds probably to do the stuff, and you get access to Lee's online platform, The Portal, Sonia Sophia's World Tapping Circle, as well as entered to win a free week here at the Mystic Manor Retreat Immersion Experience that will choose the winner in April. I was wondering if you could take a minute, since I have the man himself here, if you could take a minute to just explain to people what happens in the portal. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of you, after you experience it, would want to continue on with Lee, because it is a monthly program, correct?
Yeah, it is. So the portal is basically, I look at it a couple of different ways. It's a sanctuary for sensitives. Mm. It's also giving you thriving tools if you are empathic, intuitive, and if you want to be part of a worldwide community. So we have almost 2,000 people in the portal.
Wow, that's great.
And yeah, it's amazing. And of course, some people, you know, leave every month, and new people come sure. every month too. But what I really love about the portal is, I mean, obviously you'll know this from your community around the podcast. I love watching the community support each other.
Yeah.
And the things that they share with each other privately through the forum and through the private Facebook group, that always fascinates me. But what we actually offer in the portal, the tools and the resources we offer every month, I do a 90-minute live video broadcast, which is archived, so you don't have to be there live. But I spend about the first 20, 25 minutes tuning in on that community and delivering a message specifically for that community about what's going on that month and what's coming up for them. And then I take an hour of questions. And the first 30 minutes or so, I take the questions, you know, from my own energy intuitive vantage point. Mm-hmm. And then for about the last 25 minutes, I channel my guides, the Z's.
Which are amazing.
So... and yeah, and they're you know, you've experienced them. They're quite fast, and mm-hmm. They give the energetic overview free of some of the density and the challenges that we're going through as human beings. So it's kind of a three-layer call. The first part is me really tuning in and giving a very focused to this community energy update versus the one I do on YouTube that's, you know, reaches several hundred thousand.
Right,
everyone.
Right.
So it's a wider net. Mm-hmm. And then being able to answer questions from both the grounded energy intuitive perspective and the higher realm, it it creates an energy on that call. It's like a healing call.
Mm.
So by the end of it, there's been this real shift that is driven by the community and by the community's questions. So we then archive that, and we also put timings for which questions were asked at which point, if you want to go back and revisit something, or if you don't want to watch the whole 90 minutes, but you want to read the questions and go, oh, I'd like to hear the answer to that.
Right.
So that's the main part that we give. Then Stephen, my husband, is a Qigong and a mindfulness teacher. So he creates a video of Qigong, where it's about 30 minutes long every month, and a meditation that goes into the portal that he bases on my monthly energy update, which is
cool.
On YouTube. So it's Qigong body medicine and energy medicine for the portal, specifically and exclusively curated for them. And then the third piece is my monthly MP3. Now, this is usually an hour long. It's a channeled message. At the moment we have, this month is called Heart Energy Rising, and it was recorded live in Costa Rica. It begins and ends with an original song, and the whole channeled message is underscored with sound healing music from composer Devor Bozik. And he and I have created so many channeled sound healing meditations and original music over the last 7 years. And
wow,
the quality is exceptional. He'll bring in guitarists, violinists to his studio in Slovenia. So, and all of that's exclusively for the portal members.
Cool.
So we really pour a lot into it, and I can't say anything about it yet because we're working right now on it. But in about 2 months' time, there's going to be a brand new fourth piece.
Wow.
That's going into the portal. And yeah, the old me would have totally blabbed my mouth about it right now. And the new me knows better and keeps my mouth shut. But yeah, we're hoping that will launch in April or May.
Wow. So I didn't know that. And what's really exciting about that for everyone listening who, you know, one wants to help support, Optimistic launch. And for those of you who don't know, Optimistic is the new late night style variety TV talk show that I'm launching in March 15th. And that Lee is one of the guests on one of the initial 15 episodes. But what's great about that is, you guys, if you sign up, text Mystic to the word Mystic to 22999, you get on March 15th, the links to help share Optimistic out to your social pages. And then, so you will then get access to the portal, which is normally what, $24 a month?
24. Yeah. 24 monthly.
So you'll get a free access, get to experience it. And then when Lee drops this fourth bombshell, if it comes in April, you'll get to kind of see if it's, oh, I want to stick around and continue taking this journey with Lee and the rest of the people and knowing all of those, several thousand people in the portal are reflections of you vibrationally, Lee. It must be absolutely, incredible, beautiful group that you've got there.
You know, that is the thing that I'm so grateful for. I mean, I have a really amazing team that work with me. Like one of my mottos and one of the mottos I run the company on is talent is everywhere. Attitude is gold.
Mm.
So we've worked with talented people before whose attitudes weren't great.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, having been around talented people all my life,
yeah.
I don't see talent as talent just happens,
yep.
But a great attitude is really gold.
Yeah.
So, I think the thing that we're most grateful for and the thing that makes me proudest, like when we go to retreat centers, they always comment on our participants. They always say, wow, this is the nicest group of people. And that doesn't mean that everyone's a pushover because, we talk about boundaries a lot, but I do think we're very lucky in that the people that we get to meet through the community, they're just really good souls, very in their heart. And they teach us so much. So yeah, it's an amazing wheel that we're all in together.
Yeah, well, it makes total sense. You are one of the most pleasant people that I get the pleasure of spending my time with. It's like your energy is always so calming and grounding, and there's so much wisdom. And I'm so grateful for you coming on and sharing and, continually in supporting the way that you have. It means the world. So thank you so much for being and showing up.
Oh, I'm Thank you. I'm always happy to do anything with you, brother, because, yeah, likewise, you're just fantastic. And my experience with the Positive Head community a couple of years ago was just fantastic. I mean, it's such a kinetic tribe that you have, which doesn't surprise me, because one of the things I love about hanging out with you is how electric you are, Brandon.
Oh, thank you. That's funny, because one of the things I love about you is like, someone who's actually got some calming energy to soothe my, like, you know, spazziness a little bit. And so,
it's funny because I'm not always calm.
No.
You know, and if what it's like, if I get in a creative flurry,
yep.
You know, Stephen knows when he walks down the hall, if I'm in my office at the house and there's something's coming through me, I'm electric,
right.
And I know you are calm too.
Yeah. So. I have my moments. Yep, exactly. Yeah. We do it all right. And totally. When we always really enjoy and admire maybe others who are have more of something that we want to call in. And that's what I feel when I interact with you is like, that energy just, it's always so pleasant to be around, you know? And it's kind of like the person that you're around who is like, I've been doing, you know, 5 hours of meditation a day for the last 20 years. You can feel it on the person, right?
Oh, yeah, you really can.
And it creates a field, and it's very pleasant and enjoyable to be around. So, one last thing that I do want to bring up. I know you also have an event coming up in Sedona, and I want to make sure we get the word out about that.
Yes, we do. It's actually Scottsdale in Arizona.
Oh, so Scottsdale. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And it's April the 1st through the 5th, and it is called Impact the World, and it is a 5-day training for soul-focused entrepreneurs. So especially if you're somebody who, you know, either wants to start your online business or your healing business and get it up and running, or perhaps you've got it up and running, but you're wondering, how do I scale this up? You know, so I often say I went from being a $15 per session healer to running a 7-figure company with a team of 11. So, you know, I always think vibrationally, if you want to learn how to run an 8-figure business, I might not be your man right now. But if you want to, if you have a reason to want to grow the finances, the reach, the productivity of your business, I love working with people on that, because it's a journey I've taken. It's a journey I know.
Yep.
And it's a journey that I feel allows you to give more. Like when I look at what I'm able to do now through my work, that's what lights me up. The resources we have, we can regenerate and give out in different ways. So that's what Impact the World is about. It's 5 days. I have a few guest speakers, but it's dynamic. We'll look at the nuts and bolts of things. So we'll look specifically at money in your work. We'll look at all the various ways that you could offer your work into the world that you perhaps haven't yet thought about, but that will really help build your audience and your work. But we'll also look at mindset and the energetics of it. And things like imposter syndrome are part of one of my presentations, for example. So
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, I'm sure there will be some people there that feel the call to explore that. And I know they'll be glad that they got to spend more time with you and go deep down the rabbit hole of spiritual entrepreneurship. Thank you for doing it and showing people and being the example in the world that you are. I have one last question that, you know, what's fun about this. I probably asked you this on episode 667. So people can go back and see how you answered it differently, if you answered it differently, because maybe you've changed it, maybe you haven't. But I always like to conclude with this question. In 60 seconds or less, what is the meaning of life according to Lee Harris?
To grow, to love, to connect, to understand yourself differently at the end of life than you did at the beginning of it.
Mm. Well said, my friend. Thank you so much for showing up. And I look forward to our paths crossing again, hopefully sooner than later.
Thank you so much for having me. Big love, Brandon.
Big love as well. Till next time, everyone, journey well. If you want to get free access to the portal one more time, text the word MYSTIC to the number 22999, and you'll be helping expand the evolution of this podcast with my new show, Optimistic. And for that, I am super grateful to each of you for showing up. Till next time, journey well, everyone. Love you so, so much.
And if you're feeling the call to come for a week retreat style Mystic Manor immersion, remember to go now and book your time to speak with me directly about stepping into the optimistic vortex at calendly.com/talkwithbrandon while there are still spots left. Otherwise, I look forward to co-creating magic with you at the Mystic Manor.